The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The new year may be coming to an end, but the excitement never does on SpinQuest.com. With live blackjack, craps, and so many slots, and jackpots that don't need a countdown, your New Year's resolution is more fun on SpinQuest.com. New year and new players right now get $30 coin packs for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police, slightly later than advertised, but it's also slightly earlier than advertised as well. I'm Mike Graham, you are?
Kevin O'Sullivan.
And we were supposed to do it last week, but we couldn't get it fucking together because of different times. I mean, we almost didn't fucking get it together today either. But anyway.
We've done it,
so here we go. And I suppose we should start off with that fuckwit of a Prime Minister of ours, Keith Starling, as we like to call him.
This was the chronology of one day this week. Yeah. Now, astute Thought Police fans will know that this fucking preposterous wanker of a Prime Minister had the temerity to call together this week an international summit on smashing the gangs.
Right.
Smashing the fucking gangs won't solve the migrant crisis.
Right.
But if you're going to go down that road after 9 months of government, it might be nice that maybe you'd even come close to smashing a single fucking people smuggling gang, which they haven't.
See his fucking speech about it where he said, you know, we have already made inroads into cracking down on these
fucking
terrible
people.
They've arrested a bloke in Amsterdam, right, who apparently was in possession of boat parts. You know, God knows
that's
what that
was.
Smashing a gang. He says that they've made a bunch of arrests in Amsterdam as well. Nobody knows what they've been arrested for, how many people there are. They're not smashing the fucking gangs. It's all shite.
Only one way to solve the migrant crisis. By extension, smash the gangs. You want to smash the gangs? Stop the fucking migrants.
Yeah, right.
If you stop the fucking migrants, by telling them when you arrive in Britain, we'll detain you, then we'll deport you, or better still, you turn the fucking boats around in the middle of the channel, therefore no migrants will come anymore.
Yeah.
What will happen to the gangs? They'll be smashed because they'll have customers.
Well, they'll find something else to do, won't they?
But to want to smash the people smuggling gangs, you have to stop the migrants.
Yeah.
If you don't stop the migrants, there will always be people smuggling gangs.
Of course there will.
Because it's supply and demand. They're the customers. So that's bollocks. So he makes this... He's been telling us this for 9 fucking months.
Right. He's now the worst Prime Minister of all time. Yeah. Came out today.
Yeah.
His performance on smashing the boats and stopping the
boats.
Highest
number of migrants
worst.
Ever.
The
it's
worst.
Absolute nonsense. So he makes this speech. He inveigles 40 countries into coming to the representatives of 40 countries to coming to this. To
he
London.
Loves the coalition of the willing.
He's a coalition of the fucking wankers.
Yeah.
And and so he then starts, smash the gang, smash it. It's all fucking crap, total crap. Performative nonsense, headline hits.
Yeah,
it looks good in headlines, we'll smash the gang. Total bullshit. Anyway, so he makes this speech. I understand why people are so angry. Yeah, because you're doing fuck all about it. That's why we're angry.
Yeah.
Anyway, he makes this.
And you're a fucking liar.
He makes this. they're angry because you're a total cunt.
Right.
He makes this speech, fucking zips out, you know, exits the conference, the summit, to race across town to attend another gathering about the Netflix fictional drama Adolescence.
Yes.
So
he had a massive sort of round table in the cabinet office with about 15 people. I don't know who they all were, and I don't know what the fuck they were all doing there. But he seems to be confusing reality with fucking fiction. Right? Instead of, I mean, somebody made the point to me, because he's now declared that he loves this show Adolescence, thinks it's so good that it should be shown to every child in every school in the country, right? So it's going to be rolled out so that every fucking twat in every fucking school can watch it, right?
Well, there's a lot of swearing in adult things.
As somebody said, you know, it's a shame he's not actually addressing the root cause of the problem as opposed to a fucking drama about the root cause of the problem.
Yeah, look, here, this is the problem with the adolescent syndrome.
Yeah.
Right.
I can proudly state that I have not watched it.
Well, I watched it, and as a drama, as a piece of television, it's fucking good. Right. It's fucking great actors. The kid is amazing. Stephen Graham, you know, one of the world's great actors. He really is. And his performance is mesmerising. It's good. Yeah. It's good. But it tells the story of a little kid, a 13-year-old boy, lost in his bedroom, fucking on his computer all the time, on the dark web and God knows what, who gets desensitized to violence and all that.
Yeah.
He also gets sucked into the sort of Andrew Tate toxic masculinity syndrome and starts to think that all girls hate him. And he starts to resent girls because they don't take him seriously. One girl. So basically, cut a long story short, one girl who basically told him to fuck off, didn't want to go out with him, he goes out and stabs her to death.
Right.
Brilliant, brilliant scene when that's caught on CCTV.
Right.
Brilliant scene. He's telling his dad he didn't do it. And Stephen Graham, brilliant scene. Stephen Graham sitting next to him, watches the police evidence, and it's clearly him. And he just sort of bursts into tears. It's amazing. See, it's good stuff.
Right.
Now,
It's a good fictional drama.
Keir Starmer. We've got a serious problem with toxic masculinity. We've got a massive problem with kids, you know, getting lost in the world of their computers and going out and getting desensitized to violence. Toxic masculinity. They're attacking, they're stabbing girls.
Mm.
No. We don't have that problem.
Right.
Teenage boys are not watching their computers and then going out and stabbing women or young girls because of reasons of that toxic masculinity. There is no evidence that this is happening.
Right.
And yet, this ridiculous government, this ridiculous Prime Minister has said this has highlighted a very serious problem
right.
in society and everybody's got to watch it and I'm cracking down.
And he thinks it's worthy of some kind of fucking action,
but,
right?
But why? It doesn't need any action because we don't have a problem with it. You know, now, conversely, if you think about it, right, here's a teenage problem we have. Black kids stabbing each other to death. Gang kids stabbing each other
to death. And fighting in public.
The mountain of evidence that this is a huge problem, numerically.
Yeah.
They are killing themselves in the hundreds of thousands, stabbing each other to death. And that is a serious problem. Are we addressing that? We're not addressing that. I'll tell you why Keir Starmer's not addressing that. Two reasons. One, it's not on television.
Yeah.
And two, if he addresses that problem, in the way he'll see it is that will demonise people of colour.
Yeah.
That will make it look as if all black kids are
stabbing. He's singling them out.
Yeah. So it's very easy to say, if you like, demonise young white kids.
Yeah.
It's a lot more difficult for people like Starmer to demonise black kids. So you've got a real problem with black kids stabbing each other to death.
In ever-increasing numbers.
Starmer won't go near that for middle-class virtue-signalling reasons. But he's very comfortable around saying, white kids, we've got a problem there.
In the same way that he won't address the problem of all of the kind of cultural issues in this fucking country, which stem from all manner of Muslim gangs, which are very heavily involved in drugs in this country, for example, right? Now, again, you know, I'm not even going to make the fucking apology and say we're not talking about all Muslims. I don't care about that. This is about people who operate on the fucking wrong side of the law, whether they're fucking rape gangs, whether they're drug gangs, whether they're involved in people smuggling, you know, you've got to call out what you see, right? And these people are operating in many, many regions of this country where they basically have carte blanche to do what they fucking like, because politically the system is skewed in their favour. We now know that the fucking two-tier police system is skewed in their favour. I mean, look at those guys in Manchester Airport and how fucking long it took to get them to go anywhere near a fucking courtroom, because they were shit scared of what the end result might be if they suddenly charged these brown men, because they would suddenly be riots in the street. Well, I don't really give a shit about that. You know, why can't they fucking treat everybody the same? And instead, as you say, you know, we get the Prime Minister putting out Eid fucking Mubarak on Sunday and not mentioning the fact that it's Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day. Yeah. Neither one of those things was said by him.
Yeah, and he won't say anything about Easter or anything like that.
What's fucking all that about?
So if you think about it, you're exactly right, Mike. Couldn't agree with you more. Now, you know those rape gangs, grooming gangs, as we euphemistically call them, rape gangs.
Yeah.
250,000 vulnerable white girls raped, sexually abused, given drugs by these awful gangs, mostly Pakistani men of Pakistani, Muslims of Pakistani origin.
Yeah.
Why were they allowed to get away with it for so long? Because middle class white people were terrified to go near it. We're talking about police chiefs, we're talking about teachers, we're talking about social workers, the authorities generally, and coppers especially, terrified to go near there. If they start calling out, saying we've got this problem with Muslim Pakistani men, that they would be called racist. Yeah. So on the altar of them, their terror of being accused of racism or Islamophobia, 250,000 white girls got raped. Fucking thanks. So you still got Starmer. In terms of adolescence and the real problem, black kids stabbing each other, it's exactly the fucking same. We will not, in this country, address serious issues if it endangers middle-class people from being accused of
all
racism.
All they want to say...
Starmer's a terrible example.
Oh, he is. And all he wants to say is diversity is our strength.
Strength!
That's, you know...
It's our fucking weakness.
You know, why the fuck can he not be sensible about it and even-handed about it, like all of us have to be, where you say, look, obviously, you're not going to say all immigration is bad, but a lot of immigration is bad, and mass immigration is inevitably fucking bad, because you're letting people in, you don't even know who the fuck they are. You know, we've now got people coming into this country who are being told, basically, don't worry about it, as soon as you get into Britain, you'll never fucking leave. And that's why they keep coming. And at the end of the day, unfortunately, that's never going to fucking change as long as he's got a hole in his arse.
Yeah, exactly right.
Fucking twat.
So there are these serious social issues that this government, because Keir Starmer is a guilt-ridden white middle-class prick.
Yeah. He's giving them advanced access to housing, advanced access to fucking benefits, advanced access.
Two-tier.
If you're white, working class in this country, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Basically.
And just to recap, imagine it. Think about it. The horror of this.
Mm.
We have a government that is addressing a fictional non-problem in terms of toxic masculinity and 13-year-old kids stabbing girls. It's not a problem.
Right.
It's not a thing. It was in a good TV drama.
Mm.
Our government, all over that, like a second skin. Real problems that involve people of colour, we can't go near there.
No.
Think about it. What was the other... Unless you get a fucking television programme, a drama made about your issue.
Yeah. Well, it was a post office thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Bates...
I mean, suddenly everybody was like, oh my goodness, we've
been going on for fucking years.
Yeah, right.
Until ITV made a drama about it, nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah.
And it's because of these fatuous politicians we have today.
They think that that's real life. I said yesterday when he put this ridiculous fucking picture out of his meeting with his, you know, the summit on fucking adolescence, the drama. I said, what's he going to do next? Fucking, you know, an investigation into EastEnders and how much that's affecting people's lives. You know, let's get a fucking, you know, a focus group sorted out on EastEnders. You know, how real working class people think. What's a load of bollocks?
Well, he will because it's on telly.
Yeah.
These people are fatuous and... I think Tony Blair said something about Starmer the other day. The one thing he's got going in his favour, he is intelligent. Is he?
I don't think so.
Is he?
He does not exhibit any attributes of intelligence, as far as I can see.
I think he's as
quite the opposite.
Thick as a fucking brick.
He really is. You can tell people who are stupid, who are not nimble. He's not nimble on his feet.
He's slow-witted.
He never. We used to say when he was leader of the opposition, he was useless in Prime Minister's questions. He looks better now because he doesn't actually have to ask the questions.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easier to bat them away.
And he's only got Kemi Bloody Maiden lock up again.
She manages to make him look good.
She's fucking useless.
I don't know how she manages to make him look good, but she fucking does.
Yeah.
But, you know, but he, remember we used to laugh about it because if something happened like 10 minutes before Prime Minister's questions on a Wednesday, he could never ask about it because he wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
You know, he needed to be prepared for everything. And he can't deal with criticism, which is the mark of somebody who's not very intelligent. He can't deal with any sort of, you know, disagreement, which is also the mark of somebody who's got a little brain.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, people talk about lawyers. I mean, you and I have known lawyers all our fucking lives, right?
Yeah.
There's plenty of thick fucking lawyers.
Oh,
you know, just because you're a lawyer doesn't make you smart.
As a breed, I think the majority of them are not exactly the sharpest pin in the fucking pack.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't lived until you've seen some of these barristers at the High Court and the Crown Court. They're just fucking useless. Mm. Number of times, you know, I've covered big cases, sat there thinking, fucking hell,
this is the best you've got.
These poor clients, I could do better than this. Absolutely hopeless.
Mm.
A lot of lawyers, thick as shit. And,
and we've got too many of them in the fucking
Parliament. It's a disgrace.
It's fucking overrun with lawyers. You know, if they're not ex fucking local council members, or in the Labour Party's case, people who have never done a decent day's work in their fucking life, they've only ever worked in the public sector. Most of the rest of them are fucking lawyers, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Way too many lawyers in Parliament. They should be banned from Parliament.
Yeah.
And you know, when they have a, you know, like for example, when John Prescott died, you know, when they had one of those days where they're all allowed to stand up and make their contribution.
Yes.
Well, the reason they need all fucking day, it literally will take 10 hours as they all stand up to make their windbag speeches. It's because they're fucking lawyers.
Well, did you see that fucking letter that they wrote from the sentencing review panel? Right, they wrote a letter to Keir Starmer to say that they were suspending, you know, this guidance, which was going to make it easier for people from ethnic minorities and trans minorities to be let off.
Two-tier justice,
right? Do you know how long the letter was?
Go on.
Five fucking pages.
You see, it's
like you need a fucking journalist to actually tell you how to write.
It's typical. Lawyers can't write.
Who's going to read a five-page fucking letter?
Lawyers are single-spaced. It's a professional problem for them because they learn how to write legalese.
Yeah.
So legalese has to be extremely accurate use of language. So, you know, it's anathema to journalists. It's all about repeating words time and time again, long drawn out sentences. But it leaves most lawyers when they write normally, when they write a letter or whatever, you know, almost semi-literal.
Yeah.
I mean, they can barely use the English language.
And they're not used to working outside of a framework. As long as they've got a framework, they're all right. But as soon as you actually move them out of that and go, well, now you've got to use your initiative, they haven't fucking got any. Because they don't know what initiative is.
Well, their profession requires them to be plodding and methodical. So it is.
Do you remember when they used to describe Starmer as, you know, forensic?
Forensic.
Well, he's about as forensic as my fucking left foot. He's not forensic at all. Yeah. In fact, it now would appear to be the case that not only is he not particularly forensic, he's actually not even a details guy. I mean, he used to make fun of Boris Johnson and say, oh, he doesn't read the red boxes, he's not really a details bloke. Well, it turns out neither is Starmer. He doesn't fucking read anything.
I agree. He's not very good at details.
What's the fucking point of it?
He's just all round useless, and surely Labour won't persevere with him, because if they stick with him, I mean, I think they're pretty fucked for the next.
Well, I mean, this month alone, right? April. We're now in April. It's April Fools. I'm glad to say that we didn't bother doing any fucking April Fools stories today, because the fucking biggest April Fools are all of us because of this fucking poxy government. But you know, the amount of money that is going to end up costing all of us, it's got to see off. I would hope Rachel Reeves. I don't think she can last until the fucking autumn, because I think we're going to have a massive financial fucking problem in this country.
Yeah. Well, I think Rachel Reeves. They'll allow. She's going to be the whipping girl.
Yeah, I think if you agree with me, I think we've gone past the point where everybody said, oh, he won't get rid of her because it reflects badly on him. I think he has to now, because it's reflecting badly on him already, that he fucking picked her. You know, that's the problem he's got.
Do you know what could be funny? So she's going to deliver what will be a hellish budget in October, the autumn budget.
If she's still here.
It's funny if she delivered the budget and then he fired her the next day.
Well, I don't think you can take the risk. I mean, if what happens, as we expect it to happen, is that the economy fucking tanks even further,
yeah,
and we get more tariffs put on by Donald Trump, he's now saying, if you don't get fucking free speech in Britain, I might fucking just put the tariffs up further, yeah, which is an interesting move. We now appear to be being governed by the United States of America.
Well, what about that, though? I mean, you know, again, this fucking little idiot, Keir Starmer. Oh, don't be nasty to Donald. Oh, we'll get a special
deal. He's my mate.
We'll get a special oh, yeah, deal really? From Donald because we've got a special relationship and I'm very friendly with him. I've touched
him on the shoulder.
And here come the fucking tariffs.
Right.
As I've said before, that Donald Trump thinks of Keir Starmer exactly what he thinks of every EU leader, that he's a woke, weak wanker.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was never going to cut us anything special.
No.
And indeed hasn't. So Starmer is still too scared to do anything about it. He's going to piss off.
Because he doesn't know what to do, does he?
He just has no fucking idea. And here come the tariffs, as we always knew. America has had it with Europe, and Starmer's idea that somehow Trump and JD
and I don't know yeah and I don't know
think
whether
differently of us
and I don't know bullshit. Whether anything else has changed since this afternoon, but when I was on my way in this afternoon, it was appearing to be the case that Trump has now signed off the Chagos Islands deal, which means that, you know, he's basically not objected to it, and he's let them fucking sell off the birthright of all these poor people in Chagos Islands. And we're going to be spending a bucket load of fucking money that we don't have paying these cunts to take away something that we own.
Yeah.
And you're going, how does that work exactly?
I think, see, the thing about Donald Trump is one of his traits, I've got a lot of sympathy for it in a way.
Yeah.
He has a lot of trouble giving two fucks about anywhere that's a long way away.
I think that's true. It's very American attitude. Yeah,
Chagos Islands, never heard of it, fuck it.
But you might think the fact that there's a fucking US base there would have some relevance.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he's, but I suppose, I mean, they got a 99-year deal on that Diego Garcia place, which sounds like a footballer, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, doesn't it? Garcia. Yeah, played for Argentina.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Got sent off in the final. Yeah.
I think he's probably just decided, oh, fuck it, I'll be nice to Keir on this one. Down the line, I think he's going to go, I don't really give a fuck about Taiwan.
And I mean, from what I was listening to this afternoon, it may still be that he can pull the rug because he hasn't actually signed it. But
he always said that he was of a mind be nice about the Chagos, which I wish he wasn't. I wish he'd fucking blocked it.
Yeah.
But as I say, I think that Trump just thinks, do you know what? I can't be asked to get into a fight about somewhere
else. No, because I mean, if you imagine how much fucking shit Starmer has to deal with, can you imagine how much is going through the Trump White House currently? It's quite extraordinary. You know, I saw the US Attorney General, that woman whose name I forget for the moment, speaking yesterday, saying they're going to lock up all these people who are attacking fucking Tesla dealerships and firebombing them and fucking wrecking cars.
Good.
I mean, it's so ridiculous, isn't it? The left in America certainly have lost their fucking minds.
They're completely lost their minds. Same as the left here, they're nasty people.
Yeah.
They're blameful. They run fucking horrible lynch mob campaigns against people.
Yeah.
They're just nasty, vindictive fuckers.
Yeah, because you don't agree with them, therefore they must kill you.
Yeah, they think that they're the be kind people, they're the lovely people, and that anybody who disagrees with them must by definition be the devil because they're God.
Oh, no.
Fuck them.
Absolutely
silent.
Ridiculous. Absolutely mad.
Let's talk about my favourite story of the week, shall we? Old Prince Harry.
Oh, my God.
Fucked or what?
Fucked official, I think is what we call that.
Yeah, unbelievable. But he's still, you know, this woman, Dr. Sophie Chandorkar.
Yeah.
Right, she's been the fucking chairwoman of Centre Bali, his charity, for 6 years.
Yeah.
So he can't turn around and say, ooh, this troublemaker suddenly turned
up. She seems to
have
hijacked the organisation.
He's known her for 6 years.
Right.
She's fucking had enough of it.
Right.
And
he's obviously done fuck all for the charity, right, in that period.
Yeah. Well, the centre of the argument, the base of the argument is this, that she, and I've got a lot of sympathy for her, became more and more uncomfortable with the way funds were being raised for the charity. Basically, funds were being raised by Harry at posh polo events full of billionaires quaffing champagne in fucking places like Florida.
Yeah.
she said, can we raise money in Africa, please? Yeah. Can we stop doing this? Because it's she essentially, and I get it, she thought it sort of smacked of white saviourism.
Yes.
Colonial billionaires,
yeah, right,
raising money for dirt.
Which
poor
is exactly what he supposedly isn't.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So what he is guilty of here, she says, and I think she's right. So he likes to accuse the rest of us of being racist.
Oh, of course he does.
Because of our unconscious bias.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're racist, but we don't quite know it.
Right.
Well, if we are, so is fucking he.
Right.
I mean, that is...
Well,
you know,
sorry, I don't know if you've ever dressed up in a Nazi uniform. I haven't.
Yeah.
You've ever called anybody at the what do you call it? Sandhurst Training College a packy. I'm going to say it, because that's what he called him. You know, we haven't done that, so that makes him more of a racist, I think, than anyone, doesn't it?
Look, if there's such a thing as unconscious bias racism, Harry has got it up to his fucking
totally
neck. And
he's also been fed all this diet of bullshit from fucking old his missus, you know, who can't even work out whether she's black or not.
Yeah, she plays the victim cards,
yeah,
all the time. Look at me, look at my mental health issues. Oh, I'm the victim.
I'm
being bullied. He latched into that,
yeah,
so by extension of his wife, managed to start playing the victim card himself.
Right.
Oh, my wife's the victim of racism. My family are racist. My family have been terrible to me. Fucking fifth in line to the throne,
yeah,
who spent his entire life in palaces and,
yeah,
private jets,
yeah,
fucking passed me the smallest violin in the fucking world.
Oh, I know.
Piss off. You're not a victim. However, he's got away with it until now.
Right.
He can't play the racism card, victim card anymore. Dr. Sophie Chandorka is a woman of colour, and she's had enough,
right,
of his colonialism.
And interesting how he hasn't said anything about anything that she says.
Well, wait a second.
Well, go on.
He put out his mate. This is the point.
Oh, this is the guy who was in the mail.
This is outrageous. The guy called Alex Rayner,
yeah,
some old posh mate.
Some old Etonian mate,
who,
right,
stepped up today and said, Harry has asked me to come forward to put his case.
Yeah.
So he has made a point of saying, I am officially speaking for Harry.
Yeah.
So you saw that punch-up or that awkward shuffling at the polo.
Oh, that was awful.
And Dr. Sophie Chandorka was looking
for... And she basically shoved her out of the way.
So Harry, through his mate Alex Rayner, said, well, you know, it's typical. You know, she's just a woman of colour who didn't like it that another woman of colour got priority over her.
Mm.
In other words, he's sort of saying, oh, it's those black women,
yeah,
squabbling again.
Yeah.
Unfucking believable.
I know.
What a fucking stupid thing for Harry to do.
Yeah, absolutely right.
There's a time to wind your neck in and shut the fuck up.
But this is the trouble, though, with all of the members of the royal family, and I include William in it and probably Charles as well. You know, they're all pretty arrogant. I mean, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. Don't forget about that fucking time when he was signing the register. Do you remember, Charles?
Oh, yeah, the pen.
And the pen didn't work.
Oh,
he had a fucking really major tantrum like a fucking 7-year-old because the pen didn't,
yeah,
work. It's like, you're the fucking king of Britain, mate.
Yeah.
You maybe show a little bit of decorum. And I'm sure that they're all so used to being fucking in charge of everything, pushing everybody around, having fucking servants and slaves and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's not probably one of them that would stand up to scrutiny in any other situation outside of what they do.
I think their upbringing has a profound effect on the kind of people they are.
Must do.
I mean, you know, these people are looked up to. Nobody ever says no to them,
right,
everywhere they ever go. I read somewhere
they can have whatever they want.
I read somewhere that a few years back, the Queen was in some convoy of cars, and they took a wrong turn,
yeah,
and ended up in the slums of Liverpool,
right,
or something. And the Queen was absolutely shocked and staggered,
right,
by these slums.
What she was seeing, yeah.
Because all she'd ever seen was places that had just been painted and, yeah, red carpets,
yeah,
on,
yeah,
and swept.
Yeah.
So they don't even see the physical world in the way.
No.
Everywhere they go,
yeah,
is pristine.
Right.
Everywhere they go, people say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Every joke they,
yeah,
make, everybody falls over laughing.
Mm.
It has a profound effect.
It does.
Harry hasn't got the brains to resist that effect.
No.
And that's why he's an imperious little prick.
Oh, yeah, and because he fucking is selfish and fucking completely and utterly self-absorbed and completely and utterly self-centred.
Yeah.
He's only met his match with her, though, because she's obviously the same, even though she doesn't have the fucking credentials to be that way.
Yeah.
She clearly is that way.
She steered him into a world of difficulty.
And she's basically got him, dropped him in the shit here, because, you know, when he went to that woman from Centre Bali and said, you know, can you big up, you know, the Netflix show, and can you talk up Meghan Markle's role and all this kind of stuff.
He wanted Sophie Chandorka to say that Meghan was a fantastic person, and that awful shuffling scene that we saw, nothing untoward about that. I love Meghan, and
that's what I'm saying. I mean, that would have been because Meghan asked her, asked him to do
yeah,
it. Right, because he has to go around fucking asking people. Do you remember he asked the head of fucking Disney if he would give her a job?
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty fucking embarrassing.
Got any voiceover work
for my missus? I mean, Jesus Christ. How fucking cringeworthy is that? But she would have given him a hard time if he hadn't done it. So that's, he is now sentenced for the rest of his life, or until she decides to piff him over the side. He has to put up with the fucking harridan.
And by the way,
you know,
by the way, start the stopwatch, because that marriage, that ain't gonna fucking last.
No.
I think that she's reached the point now. She's now fucking selling everything, hawking.
They've hit the wall, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, she's got to the position now where, you know, she's not necessarily liked.
Mm.
But she's very famous. Yeah. Everybody knows who Meghan is.
Right.
So she's got to the position. He has helped vault her to the position where she always wanted to be. World fame. She doesn't need him anymore.
Right.
She's starting to make, well, she thinks she's going to make money soon. So I reckon that...
But it doesn't matter, because she's into him for all the money he's got. Yeah, but they've got kids, so if they get divorced, she'll take him to the fucking cleaners.
Which I think they will. I think
she will take him to the cleaners.
She's got a track record of jettisoning people when they're no longer any use to her. Look at her dad.
Right.
Look at her brother. Yeah. Look at her sister. All
look at her
fucking,
first husband.
All expelled. The first husband got a wedding ring and her engagement ring in the post.
Yeah.
By registered mail. Yeah. Sorry, it's all over, mate.
Exactly.
You know, she just ditches people when they're no longer any use to her.
Mm.
And I think Harry has fulfilled his purpose in her life, and she will ditch him. She doesn't need him.
I can't fucking wait till the day he comes crawling back here and tries to get the sympathy of the British public, because he ain't going to get it. Because people have fucking had enough of him.
He's such a tosser, isn't he? Little
tosser. He is a twat. Total ginger fucking twat. Idiot. What should we finish up on? Anything exciting on the sports front? Fulham got knocked out of the cup.
That was the most miserable day of my life.
Did you see Newcastle, by the way, celebrating their win? Did you see the aerial shot of like something like 700,000 people in Newcastle? And they were at that the Sandman Hotel where I've stayed.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did a show up there actually some years ago. And it's right next to St James's Park.
Okay.
But the fucking streets were unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally,
well,
like
they love their football.
Hundreds of thousands of people.
They love their fucking football. And I think for them...
Well deserved.
I mean, I've always quite liked Newcastle.
I love
Newcastle as a city. I like Geordies. And I've always quite liked the team. And for them, you know, it was like, what was it, 50 years since they won.
Yeah.
And it's
always been a proper sort of... proper football
it's
club.
It's proper football club.
So, except, of course, now it's owned by the fucking Saudis.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, well, that's why they're doing well.
Yeah.
Because they got the money.
Because they got a load of money. Did you see, by the way, that ridiculous piece that Emily Maitlis wrote in the Sunday Times
about going
to Saudi?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, despite the fact that all of her fucking credentials would suggest that she would never go anywhere near it, she wrote basically what looked like a puff piece about fucking Mohammed bin Salman and how cool it is now in Saudi Arabia because women don't have to wear a fucking head covering.
Well, big deal.
I mean, it was
deal.
Unbelievable. I mean, I was talking to my daughter about it because obviously she goes there a lot, and she was like, it was one of the most ignorant things she'd ever read.
Yeah.
This woman goes out there on a quick flying visit, presumably invited by the fucking government, and starts writing all this sort of glowing shit about Saudi Arabia.
I'm not sure
how that sits with her otherwise, you know, ranty. So she's basically now saying she hates Donald Trump and she loves Mohammed bin Salman. Well, great.
You know,
well, brilliant fucking move, that.
He's a murderer, isn't
he? Well, there's certainly some questions that remain unanswered
about...
Well,
put it this way, he stands accused of being
what happened to Khashoggi. And then what happened to the people who did him in the embassy, who all returned to Saudi Arabia and suddenly fucking disappeared?
Yeah. But you know. So I think Emily Maitlis, these people who spend like about a million years working for the BBC, when they step out, some of them, not many of them, when they do into the commercial world, as she has, with that guy John Sopel, who's that?
Now the Lewis Goodall for nothing.
So
good,
they made
nothing.
That awful fucking.
And all they do is talk about America. They don't ever fucking criticise the Labour government.
Want to cut Trump?
Yeah, that's all they do is talk about fucking.
So
Trump.
She's in the commercial world now, and they're not very good at it.
No,
you know? So. You know, we can all go over to Saudi Arabia and say it's the most brilliant place, and Salman Al Salman is a marvellous man, and he'll give you a load of money.
Yeah.
But life, you got to be a bit more careful than that, Emily,
yes.
I suspect.
I suspect you're right. But we've come to the end again already. So it's gone out. It's going to go out earlier than normal. This will be the only one probably this week.
Yeah.
Because we're all a bit fucking screwed up with the state of the nation at the moment. Anyway, don't do anything fucking stupid.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Fuck you very much. Thank you.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.